coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our Sunday school. Yes, yes, it's time again to study our Sunday school lesson. So go get your Sunday school book and go get your Bible and study along with us this morning as we study our Sunday school. We have a wonderful lesson for you today. The lesson is coming out of Luke. It's coming out of Luke. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 is our lesson for the day. Luke chapter 7, verses 37 through 48. Luke chapter 7, verses 37 through 48. And it reads like this. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with... Let me back up and read 38 again. And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the anointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There were a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with anointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for who you are, the God who hear and still answer prayers. Speak to our hearts today in a mighty way, for it's in Jesus' wonderful name we do pray. Amen. All right, our lesson again is dealing with faith. And today is grateful faith. It's grateful faith. On last week, we looked at a humble faith. We looked at a humble faith because we've been looking at faith all of this month. All of this month of October, we've been looking at faith. We've been looking at faith. And so now we are looking at faith again, but we are looking at a grateful faith. Remember, our first lesson we had was on obedient faith. It was obedient faith. And then we had a lesson on active faith. And then we had a lesson on humble faith. And today it's grateful faith. So we've been learning a lot about faith. Learning a lot about faith. And this lesson is taken out of Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And you know, Luke is a gospel writer that he focused on the humanness, the humanity of Christ. You know, you have four gospel writers, and Matthew focused on the kingship of Jesus Christ, and Mark focused on Jesus as being a perfect servant. So Matthew, a perfect king, Mark, a perfect servant, and then John focused on the deity of Jesus Christ, a perfect God, perfect God. But Luke focused on the humanity a lot of Jesus. And he shows you the perfect man, the perfect man. So when you look at Luke's gospel, you see Christ as being a perfect man. But also you see a lot of just human stories, a lot of human stories. And Luke's gospel focuses in on a lot of women's, a lot of women's, and how Jesus is really the a great liberator of women's. You know, we talk about women's lib in the 1970s, but Jesus was liberating women's way before the 1970s. And we're going to see that even in our story today. Just when you read through Luke's gospel, just look at all of those women's that Luke focused on. Matter of fact, you start out with Elizabeth, the old lady that God used to have a baby, John the Baptist. Then you look at how God used Mary, the young lady, in her teenagers to bear our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as you continue to keep reading through the book of Luke, you would see how Jesus healed a woman that had the issue of blood for 12 long years, and then how Jesus healed this lady that the devil had bent over for 18 years, and he said, woman, thou art loose. And so you can just go on and on and on and on and on, and you can see how Jesus liberates women. But look at this text today. You'll see again how Jesus liberates women's. And keep in mind, back in Bible days, women's was looked upon just like property. But Jesus, he humanizes women's. He brings them to the level of a human being, bring them to the same level of a man. And you see that in this story. Now, as you go through this story, particularly if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're studying through this story, there are several questions you need to ask. The first question you may want to ask is, why did Simon invite Jesus to dinner, to his house for dinner? Why did Simon invite Jesus? Because the scripture says, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now, Simon was this Pharisee. He was this Pharisee. Why did he invite Jesus into his house? Why did he invite Jesus into his house? We know that it was Simon, because verse number 40, Jesus answered and said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. So we know that this man was a Pharisee. And keep in mind, Pharisees were separate ones. That's what the word Pharisees mean, separate ones. They kept themselves separate from common people and from sinful people and what have you. They thought that they was a little bit better than everybody else. You know, I say the Pharisee thought they was fair, you see. And so they thought they was fairer than everybody else. But so why did this man invite Jesus? Did he invite Jesus to celebrate Jesus? Because the Pharisees, they didn't too much care for Jesus. They didn't too much care for Jesus. Matter of fact, they was enemies. Jesus was their enemy. They looked at Jesus as their enemy. So I don't think he brought Jesus over to celebrate all of the miracles and the accomplishment, because every time Jesus done a miracle, when you read through the gospel, if them Pharisees was around, it made them mad. So I don't think that he was trying to celebrate Jesus. Could it be that he brought him over there to criticize Jesus? I don't too much think that that was it. I don't think that he brought him over there to entrap him. Most of the time when the Bible normally tells us about that motivation, that they brought Jesus over to entrap him and things like that. But we don't see that in the text. It looked like they was having a pretty good dinner until this woman showed up. So I don't think he brought him over there just to criticize. Could it be that he brought Jesus over to more or less invite a celebrity to his house? Now, that could be a good reason why he brought him over, because Jesus was a celebrity. And the thing about a lot of people, particularly preachers and big shots, they normally like to identify themselves with other big shots, with other celebrities. And that way he could have bragging rights. And so I think that may be, I don't know, the text don't tell us, so don't go around preaching that. But that may be why he brought Jesus over there to say, oh, I done had him over there at my house. I had him over there at my house. Yeah. And so that could be why he brought him up. But we need to, you need to think it through. Why did he invite Jesus? But the text don't really tell us, so let's move on. But the next question you need to ask is, who was this woman? Who was this woman? Because the Bible says that, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box. Now, keep in mind, a lot of the rich people in Jesus' day, they would eat out in their courtyards. And when a celebrity or when they was entertaining guests, particularly when a celebrity then came to town. You had your invited guest that was there at the dinner, but then you also had people that was curious. They just kind of wanted to look on and see this celebrity for themselves. And like in Jesus' case, he was a noted rabbi. And so whenever you invited a rabbi over, most of the time you did eat out in your courtyard, and so that the people could come by. And as they would be talking there at the table, this noted rabbi could be dropping some nuggets. And so the bystanders, they could pick up some of those good juicy nuggets from that noted rabbi. They could get some of that good teaching of Jesus. So I think that that was why, you know, that's why I'm thinking that he had invited Jesus over. It was more of a celebrity thing. But this lady, who was she? Some folks say that that was Mary, because when you look at St. John chapter 12, you'll see a similar story like this here. You right after Jesus had rose Lazarus from the grave, the Bible says that Martha fixed the dinner. She was fixing dinner. And then the Bible says Mary came with an alabaster box of anointment, and she anointed Jesus. But I don't think this was Mary. I just think that this is another separate story altogether, because Mary in the Bible, Martha and Mary, they was not looked upon as being town sinners, big shot sinners in town. They was respectable people in town, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. But this lady here, she was a noted sinner. She was a town sinner. People knew that she was a sinner. So I don't think it was Mary. I just think that this is a unnamed sinner. I think she's an unnamed sinner. Now, that brings me to the third question. Who is Jesus? Who's Jesus? Because when you look at this text here, the Bible says, and she stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the anointment. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. He didn't say this out loud, but he said this within himself. He said, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. So Simon says that he was doubting now that Jesus being a prophet. He said, if he would be a spiritual man, if he was truly a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. Same thing, they asked the question in verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, I heard, let me back up. Let's see here. I'm sorry. That's not in our Sunday school lesson, but verse 49 said, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgives sins also? So the question you got to ask as you're studying this lesson is, who is Jesus? Who is he? Is he not a prophet? Or is he a prophet? Or is he more than a prophet? Simon didn't think that he was a prophet. He had doubts now. He said if Jesus would have known what kind of woman this was, if he would have known, if Jesus would have been a prophet, then he would have known. But apparently he must not be who he say he is. He must not be that prophet. He must not be the Messiah even. But notice Jesus shows Simon exactly who he is. Notice he says in the text here in verse number 40, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered. Now, let me back up. Notice Jesus comes up with this story about this certain creditor, this bill collector. He had two people that owed him some money. One owed 500 pence and the other 50 pence. Now, a pence or a penny was like a day's wages. That was a day's wages. And so one owed him 500 pence. In other words, he would have to work 500 days before he could pay off his debt. This other man would have to work 50 days in order to pay off his debt. Now, you think about it. Both of these men's in bad shape. It would take this man, if he worked every day, it would take the one who owed 500, it would take him a year and a half. But it would take even longer than that in all actuality, because that's all he made in one day was a pen. And so, he needed some money to live off of. You're not going to just give the bill collector all your money. You got to have some money to live off of. And this man, he was working hard, but you got to save up. And so it was going to be hard. If that's all you getting as a penny a day, it's going to be almost impossible for you to save up. Now, the second man, he may could save up, because he only owed 50 pence. He only owed 50. So that was a possibility with him. But the first one, 500, that's almost an impossibility. Yeah, he would have to have a lot of help. Somebody else would have to help him. But notice verse 42, it says, when they had nothing to pay. Wow. Notice, they didn't have nothing. Neither one of them had nothing to pay. The Bible says he frankly forgave them both. He said, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he of whom forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Thou gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Now, notice, Simon was looking at Jesus early on and saying he must not be who he say he is, because he's lacking in spiritual discernment. He's lacking. He's lacking something missing in his life, so he must not be a prophet. But notice, Jesus pointed out what was missing in Simon's life. Simon had missed out on hospitality. Whenever somebody came over to your house back in Bible days, number one, you met them at the door with a basin of water, a bowl of water, a bucket of water. And you wiped their feet because they had sandals. They would, and because they was walking dusty and dirty roads, your feet would get dirty. And keep in mind, when you ate at the table, you was down on the floor. You sat on the floor. And you normally sat on your left side with your elbow down, and you use your right hand to eat with. And you had your feet kind of behind you somewhat as you sat down. And you didn't want to come to the table with dirty feet. But notice, and so normally the host, whoever was giving the dinner, was supposed to meet you at the door and show some kind of hospitality. But Simon didn't do that, but this lady did. As a matter of fact, Jesus says that you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Now, normally back in Bible days, a lady very seldom took down her hair. As a matter of fact, when a lady normally got married, she would have her hair up. She would put her hair up. And then after the wedding is over with and they get ready for the honeymoon, the lady would take her hair down. In other words, the lady would only take her hair down for her husband, the one that she really, really loved. But notice, this lady here, she took her hair not only down for Jesus, but she took her hair and began to wipe his feet with her hair. Now, a lady's hair was her glory. That was her glory. That was her pride and joy. But notice how humble this lady. She took her pride and joy and she washed Jesus' feet with her hair. Then look at verse 45. It said, "Thou gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss," notice, "my feet." Now, normally, whenever you came over to somebody's house, they would put their hand on your shoulders, and then you would kiss them on the cheek. That was the holy kiss. You would kiss them on the cheek. Put your hand on their shoulder, and then you would kiss them on the cheek. And to show a sign of love. But notice, Simon didn't do that. But this woman, boy, she hadn't stopped kissing Jesus' feet. Not his cheek, not his face, but his feet. And then, so those two things was required to show hospitality. And then verse 46 says, "My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment." Now, the normal two things that a person did was wash your feet and give you a kiss. But if you was a rabbi, or if you was an honored guest, then they would even take some ointment and put on your head. Or they would take some roses or something and put some rose pebbles there and sprinkle some rose pebbles on your head to show that you are indeed the honored guest. You are different from everybody else. See, everybody else just got a kiss, and everybody else just got their feet washed. But if you are the honored guest, if you're the special guest, then you're going to either get your head anointed or either get some flowers and pebbles, some rose pebbles normally, and put on your head. And but Simon didn't treat Jesus like he was the honored guest, particularly if it was a notable rabbi. A notable rabbi, you sure wanted to anoint, put some anointing on his head to show that he was indeed the anointed prophet. He had been anointed by God. But Simon didn't do that. But this lady did. Now notice Jesus brings it to a conclusion. He says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, that same loveth little. So And like I said in verse number 49, the people that sat there at meat with him began to say to themselves, who is this that can forgive sin also? So who is Jesus? You got to answer that question. Who's Jesus? Is he not a prophet? Is he a prophet? Or is he more than a prophet? Jesus is more than a prophet. Jesus shows us here that he has the ability to forgive us of our sin. He said, this lady whose sins are many, her sin which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same love little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Only God can forgive sin. Jesus is more than a prophet. Only God can forgive sin. So if Jesus can forgive sin, then that means he's God. So those are some questions you must ask. Why did he invite Jesus? Who was the woman? Who is Jesus? But the final question you got to ask is, how do you treat Jesus? How do you treat Jesus? And my hope and prayer is that you treat Jesus with a whole lot of love. That's what this lady did. She treated Jesus with a whole lot of love. And so if you have been forgiven a lot of your sin, then you ought to treat Jesus with a whole lot of love. All right, that's how Jesus want to be treated. He wants you to treat him with some love. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.